Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, honorable members. I think we trust that we'll find us on the way. I'm sorry for my voice. I've got flu. But nonetheless, to remind you, I'm Mayor Priscilla Temba, the chairperson of the Select Committee on Labour and Public Enterprises, representing Mpumalanga in the National Council of Provinces, and I'm the chair of this committee, the Select Committee. The Select Committee of Labour and Public Enterprises.
Thanks, Chair. Molweni, ndivumbo isela Jacobs from the Free State.
Okay, good morning, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Ola.
Awesome. Thanks, Chairperson.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Ola Mlenzana, member of the Select Committee representing the province of the Eastern Cape.
I'm not sure who's leading.
Thank you, Madam Chair, honorable members. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to come and brief the Select Committee. It's a real honor for us. But before we start the presentation, I'd just like to indicate who is here. We have representatives from our shareholder, the Minister of Public Enterprises, and I'm sure they will introduce themselves. We can do it.
Good morning. My name is Wikeng Sangane from the Department of Public Enterprise, Chief Director responsible for Daniels and Alexco. Our DDG is unable to join us. He has been tasked by Minister to do something related to SAA aviation, so he could not be here today.
Morning. My name is Masala Tabudi from the Department of Public Enterprises, assisting with the oversight of Kenya.
My name is Figile Mtonto. I'm the Group Financial Director of DNL.
Thank you. I'm Ria Saluji. I'm the Group Chief Executive Officer of DNL.
Good morning. My name is Natasha Davies, and I'm the Group HR Executive of DNL.
Good morning. My name is Vuyelwa Senga, Group Corporate Communication. Thank you.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Loli Sibisi. I'm the Committee Secretary. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Eric Boskat. I'm the Colonel Advisor for the Committee.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Shiboma Fuchi, Communications Officer assigned to this committee.
Good morning. I'm Claudine Adams. I'm the Committee Assistant.
Thank you. And the lady at the back there.
Good morning. My name is Vern Kleinfurt. I'm from PMG.
Our agenda today is briefing by DNL on its turnaround strategy. After DNL, then we will consider the minutes. The honorable member who's coming in is Honorable Sibande. He is a member of this committee representing the beautiful province Mpumalanga. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Chairperson. Again, let me just say thank you very much for giving us this opportunity. I think as just a way of introduction, there have been many developments within our environment over the last 24 months. You are aware of the fact that there has been a lot of issues around DNL, the state of the organization, what its strategic vision was, where it was going to, and its performance in particular. What we are going to present to you today here, Jefferson, is the current state of Tenal, the interventions that we have undertaken within that environment in order to address the mandate that the shareholder has given us, in order to address the imperatives that government has set for Tenal with regard to our role and responsibility and our strategic vision going forward. So we are going to share with you three elements. The one is going to be the essence of the turnaround strategy. What is the strategy and what were the interventions that we made? We want to give you an overview of the financial position of Tenal, because I think it is, maybe it has been a problem on our side that we have not publicized it enough, because it is a good story to tell. And we're also going to give you some overview of the transformation issues that are impacting on the business, and again, what are those things that we have done in order to address those imperatives of transformation. So, essentially, the message that we want to give is why is Tenal good for South Africa? And that's what we're going to present to you today. So by way of starting, we want to show you a very quick overview of the company through a video. If you don't mind, it's only about 4 minutes long. So if you just indulge us, we're going to start with the corporate video.
Potential which needs to be nurtured, protected and advanced. With pride and integrity, we at Tenal translate this potential into action through scientific and technological innovation and world-class products and solutions. It is our purpose that powers us. It is trust that enables us. This is Tenal. Tenal South Africa and all its subsidiary companies proudly contribute to the economy and the defense and security objectives of South Africa. Since 1992, Tenal has continuously transformed to align its role and objectives to that of a changing South Africa. The company proudly contributes towards the national key priorities through skills development, enterprise development, and job creation. Today, Tenal is a level 3 triple BEE enterprise, contributing significantly to South Africa's human capital, manufacturing, and technological capabilities. Our group values, performance, integrity, innovation, caring, and accountability, inform everything we do. Our most valued assets are our people and our ideas. Tenal's products and capability portfolio has moved beyond weapons manufacturing. Our core business now includes humanitarian demining, the maintenance, repair, and overhaul of existing defense technologies, technical training, and engineering. Over the past 2 years, we invested more than 1.5 billion rand in research and development. Our group also acts as an invaluable incubator for high-end niche technologies, and is a catalyst for advanced manufacturing in the broader South African economy. Our vision is to be the credible state-owned South African strategic partner for innovative defense, security, and related technology solutions. Research and innovation on the indigenous Roy Falk helicopter led to the development of the electro-optical payloads supplied to the South African police and paramilitary for surveillance purposes. This pioneering technology was also used to ensure that the FIFA 2010 World Cup ran safely. With the adoption of government's policy blueprint for economic development called the New Growth Path, Tenal, as a state-owned company, has been identified as a key strategic partner for driving economic growth and job creation. The Tenal Group, including the associated companies, employs more than 6,300 people around the country. Our various corporate social investment programs are aimed at inspiring the next generation. We've established partnerships with universities, secondary schools, and other agencies to develop the skills to make and keep our economy globally competitive. In the past financial year alone, Tenal spent 49 billion rand on skills development and learning programs. Together with the companies within our group, we are involved in training to improve the quality of science and mathematics education. As part of this effort, our qualified engineers offer learners from schools in Gauteng and Northwest extra maths and science tutoring on Saturdays. We look forward to employing these bright young men and women in the near future. Transformation, development and innovation. The imperatives that constantly drive us towards progress. But our commitment as an employer is not confined to our workforce. As partner to the South African defense industry, Donnell delivers affordable and dependable defense solutions to our Department of Defense and international clients. Over the years, we have built strong relationships with leading global companies across Africa, the Middle East, Southeast Asia, Latin America, the USA, Europe, and Australasia. The Donnell Group has made significant interventions to be more business-focused and customer-orientated to ensure that we are geared to supply appropriate and affordable defense, aerospace, and security solutions to our strategic market. Of further importance is to ensure a dynamic African strategy that will allow Donnell to further contribute to South Africa's initiatives towards securing peace and security in our continent. In 2011-2012, the Donnell Group, including the associated companies, achieved 2.3 billion rand in export earnings. But our impact on the economy is not only measured in money terms. For every engineer we employ, 6 direct jobs are generated in the manufacturing sector. Companies in the Donnell Group are clustered together according to business synergies and geographical location. Donnell Industrial Properties, a division of the Donnell Group, owns and manages our 11 state-of-the-art sites in South Africa. These facilities are available to local and international enterprises and include hangar, office, manufacturing, and storeroom space. The Irene campus is a home to Donnell Dynamics, which incorporates Donnell UAVs and Donnell Integrated System Solutions. Donnell Dynamics designs, develops, and manufactures advanced missile systems and guided weapons, including anti-armor, air defense, and air-to-air missiles. A major milestone was achieved through the successful flight trials of the A-Data air-to-air missile, a joint development program with Brazil. Donnell Dynamics UAVs develops world-class unmanned aerial vehicles and high-speed target drones and has supplied the Department of Defense and foreign clients for the past 30 years. The Seeker 2 was deployed in the Kruger National Park to primarily assist with the combating of rhino poaching. The Seeker 400 is the latest addition to this trial stable. Donnell Integrated System Solutions is the prime contractor for South Africa's ground-based air defense system. Donnell is an active participant in the process, from the early inception phases with modeling and simulation support right up to fielding the system. This includes life cycle support for an integrated air defense capability for the South African National Defense Force. Littleton Campus is a home to the landward divisions within Donnell. Donnell Land Systems incorporates MECM. Donnell Land Systems is a landward defense systems business. It primarily serves the South African Defense Force and international clients as a system designer and integrator, as well as subsystem supplier of artillery, rapid-fire medium caliber weapons, and combat vehicle systems. Donnell has a majority stake in a local vehicle engineering manufacturing company, LMT Holdings, significantly strengthening its position as a leading system supplier and manufacturer in the landward defense and armored vehicle market. The Donnell Group is contributing to the promotion and to maintenance of peace and security across our continent and beyond. Donnell MECM, for instance, has undertaken landmine clearing operations in Angola, the Democratic Republic of the Congo, Eritrea, Ethiopia, Mozambique, and Sudan. It offers comprehensive humanitarian services, including demining, battle area clearance, and contraband detection. It also produces mine-protected vehicles and ancillary equipment. Kempton Park Campus is home to Donnell Aviation, which incorporates Donnell Technical Academy and Donnell Personnel Solutions. Danel Aviation specializes in the maintenance, repair, and overhaul of rotary and fixed-wing aircraft, as well as associated ground support and test equipment. The company also provides critical technical skills via the Danel Personnel Solutions subsidiary. It has been a strategic partner of the South African Air Force for more than 50 years and has received accreditation to perform maintenance, repair and overhaul work on aircraft produced by helicopter turbine engines, gearboxes for helicopters and commercial jet engines. The equity partnership of mortars and guided weapons. Cassidian Optronics is a strategic equity partnership with Cassidian Optronics in Germany. The local company specializes in the design, development, manufacture, and after-sales support.
Thank you very much. I think what you can do, because I think it's a very important issue, if you can send copies to the members. If you, from here, I know you don't have those copies, but if you can, send copies before next week to the members, that, so that on our own, we can look at this, because now we want to talk to you. We want you to talk to us, give us information on your turnaround strategy. That is very important, very much important, but it needs enough time. Thank you, and can you talk to us now?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I think if we go to the presentation, our mandate at Danel, it originates from, as I've indicated before, the shareholder and government, and it's essentially to supply the selected defense and security environment with strategic technology capabilities, product services and support. So essentially it's an industrial, defense industrial capability. But we also, because of the fact that we know that Pakistan is limited, we are leveraging on those technologies to sustain the business with an export. So as you'll see later in my presentation, the successes that we've had in the export market as well. But not just using those technologies and products for defense purposes, one of the other mandates that has been given to us as shareholders is to indicate how we can contribute further to the economic well-being and developmental challenges such as job creation, new technologies, diversification in the country as well. I think what is very important as well, because of the kind of role that we're playing, especially for example in key support operations where we're supporting the National Defense Force in it, we further the aims of foreign policy and security policy of the country in those areas as well. And then of course lastly, kind of very, very critical thing, is that we need to constantly remind ourselves that because we are government-owned state company and national government, that we have to conduct ourselves as a credible social citizen, complying strictly, absolutely strictly to all the compliance and legality of the country and what is accepted of us and the state-owned company.
So if that is the strategic intent and purpose as articulated by the shareholders, that then we unpacked and took into a new strategy focused on a few things, okay? So that strategy is firmly in place, and that is what we are unfolding at the moment, okay? So the vision really is very clear and simple. It's to be a credible state-owned strategic partner, and I think this is very critical, strategic partner for innovative defense, security, and related solutions specifically to the South African National Defense Force, okay? And when we talk about strategic partner, I think it's strategic because of the fact that we are state-owned. We are not a private sector company. So if that is the vision which has been accepted by our shareholder and government, what are those things that we have to address? Because remember, 3 to 5 years ago, Danel was in a real slump. We weren't, the revenues were not coming in, the profitability was hugely bad, we were losing money hand over fist. When I talk of hand over fist, really, I mean at the height of it was almost, one, how much money, at the height of it, what were we losing?
An average. The losses were about 300. At average, we're losing about 300-400 million a year, but there were certain years where the losses were significantly higher than that. And notably, 2005-2006, the losses were about 1.6 billion.
So the issues were, you know, we had to do a thorough analysis. What was the problem? Were there market conditions? Were there enough interventions within the organization to make them accountable and responsible for their performance. You know, were we structured properly? Those are the kind of issues that we had to address. Okay? And what did you say? There are a few issues that have to drive the business going forward. The one was to increase the revenue and improve our customer relationships. Okay? To make sure that we become a strategic partner to the Department of Defense, to the National Defense Force, to our external clients in it, because we lost a lot of those relationships during that period. Okay? So grow the revenue, we have to bring more money into the business to sustain those capabilities. We were losing a huge amount of money through our inability to execute programs efficiently and professionally. Okay? So the efficiencies within the organization in terms of executing programs and contracts that we had won was not there, and as a result we were paying huge penalties and losing lots of money. Okay? And that is on public record, and that's where we lost a lot of money. Okay? So we had to address productivity, efficiency and profitability. We could not yet continue selling old equipment and technology. We had to invest into new technology because as the revolution in military affairs and doctrine has continued both locally and internationally, we could not continue selling old equipment. We had to invest in new technologies, research and development to keep up with that. So that was another key area, strategic driver. And then the organization was in a really bad state when it came to things like morale, people's insecurity about the future, and the issues of transformation. We had to address the internal human transformation issues within, so to create a better environment for our people. And those were the five strategic drivers that we said we need to address. Okay? And each one of these, as you will see in the presentation, had its own key strategic objectives, so that at the end of the day we said, we are here today. This is where we've come from, and this is where we want to go. And that's where we wanted to go. We said, in a few years' time, we want to create a dynamic, vibrant, financially sustainable, transformed and profitable organization. That was the end state that we identified for ourselves. And that is what we are working towards right now. So what are some of the interventions that we had undertaken, okay, in the last 24 months to get us to where we are today? And I must say today, when you see the financials, for the last three consecutive years, we've had a very good year, both in terms of sales and turnover and in terms of profitability as well. 2 years ago, because of the strategy at that particular point in Zinal, there were 11 different business units, all standalone units, okay, in Zinal. So each one had its own board, its own HR, its own finance, its own... So we duplicated all the support in each of those environments. Now you can imagine how much money we were using for 11 different businesses. So we decided we were going to restructure the businesses. We did away... And so each one also had its own board. Okay. So we did away with all the boards. We cut them down from 11 different businesses to 6 divisions. All reporting now into a group executive where there's accountability and responsibility for what they do, and we together with the shareholders set the strategic objectives for them. Okay? So we've cut a lot of costs out of the business as well. The overhead cost was just skyrocketing. We've cleaned all of that up, okay? And there's more accountability and responsibility now. So cost optimization and huge amounts of savings. Okay? We were saying we are not selling enough equipment. We needed to pay special attention to business development. Okay? How are people selling it and how successful are they in the market selling these things? And why were we not selling world-class technology? So we had to pay special attention to that, and you'll see. Because of paying special attention to that, we've increased the order book from an external revenue source by almost 50%, which is a very healthy balance. 50% local business, 50% external business. We had huge debt as well because we were borrowing money from the banks at high interest rates because we needed the money. What we've done now through the help of Treasury and also the shareholder, we've restructured that debt. Okay, Fila will talk more about it when he does the financials. What it essentially means is that our financial position from a debt perspective is improving also after very many years of going through a difficult period. We've also concluded some key transactions with strategic partners in different parts of the world in order to access those markets. For example, in the UAE, we've now got through the government permission and PFMA approvals and Treasury approvals, a joint company where we are supplying missile technology into that environment for the local customer. Just to give you some idea, already we've won a 3 billion rand contract and there's another 5 billion rand coming in the next 12, 18 months in terms of sustaining that business going forward. Okay. We've also acquired a local manufacturer, supplier and designer of of military vehicles, which now enhances our capability to provide landward military vehicles again. And I think you may have seen in the press for the first time, we have signed a historic agreement with Russian helicopters to do their maintenance, repair, and overhaul throughout Africa for their civilian aircraft, and we want to extend it now into the military aircraft as well. Okay. So, and that was a huge breakthrough for us, because it means that we will now be doing the maintenance of those helicopters in South Africa. Okay. And one of the key things was that we said we needed to improve our stakeholder relationships in terms of how we relate to our customers. Because what we're doing, we're going to dump products. We weren't listening to what the customer wanted. Okay. So we had to improve those relationships so that we could understand better the requirement. I think one of the key things that is also happening is that we're in the process to recognize that Denel is a national asset and that it must be used in the national interest. We are now in the process of concluding a memorandum of cooperation between the Department of Public Enterprises, Department of Defense, Arms Corps, and Denel to give effect to that special status that Denel has. What that means is that those capabilities that are sovereign, which we cannot rely on foreign suppliers and other local suppliers to do, okay, will be determined sovereign, and we will come to an agreement of how we need to secure those capabilities locally in South Africa. Okay. So those are some of the key interventions. We also, for example, are improving our cooperation in the IPSA context. We've got a significant technology program on missile development for fifth generation missiles with Brazil. That will put us in, not only will put us, it has put us in the forefront of technology, missile technology in the world. I mean, here we are competing with the likes of the US and the Germans and the French as well. We delivered in this period also the final Rafale helicopter, which was the first combat support helicopter to be designed, built, qualified, and certified in Africa. Okay. And I don't have to say, you can see the performance of that aircraft when they were in the DRC during the deployment against the M23 rebels there. The Defense Force is extremely happy with that product. Okay. And right now we are engaged with them in a discussion as to look at what is the future roadmap for that aircraft going forward. Okay. We're also busy with execution of the infantry combat vehicle, which is going to give the Defense Force another significant capability in the landward environment today. And externally, we are having some huge contracts, for example, with a country in the Far East where we're supplying a turret that is locally 100% developed in South Africa, and that project is worth about 3 billion rand. Okay. It is also critical that in terms of how we run the company, we have said that we want to run the company on good governance. In 2012, June, we were recognized for excellence in corporate reporting in the entire state-owned enterprises environment. Okay. And then in October of that year, Stellenbosch did a survey, a study of all state-owned companies, and we can count as the best governing state-owned enterprise in that Stellenbosch study that was done on governance. Okay. In terms of transformation, we have achieved a 79% ratio of new transformation appointments as against a shareholder target of 70%. Okay, so we're making some signals. Out of the six divisions, four of the new CEOs that we've appointed there are black CEOs. Okay, and I mean, that was unheard of before in the history of Denel. Okay. And of course, in terms of the skills development, which Natasha will talk about, and socioeconomic development and research and development, you'll see the kind of significant interventions that we've made. So where are we at the moment in a nutshell? We said in 2006 we were an ailing company. We were losing money. The company was not in a good shape. Today, around 2013, we're in a good shape at the moment. Okay, financially, we're sustainable at the moment. The business is looking good. We are profitable. And we're not asking the state for handouts. Okay. But that's not enough. We said, by doing all of the things that we did, we need to go from where we are today as a good company to a great company. And that corporate plan that we have now submitted to the Department of Public Enterprises as our shareholder articulates a five-year plan which will take us from where we are to another significant height. If you think about it, today we are almost a 4 billion rand company. Okay? In 3 years' time, we will hopefully to be about a 7 billion rand company. That's more or less between 7 and 10 billion rand is where we want to pitch it, because then it makes us sustainable and we can maintain the capabilities in the country. Okay? Right now we are employing about 6,000 people, including the associate companies, and we are going to hopefully within the next 12 to 18 months significantly increase the number of people because of the work that we are getting as well. Okay? So where we are, we said we are now here, we are a good stable company, but we want to go to greater heights. Okay? And what is that greater heights? What did we say? We did a very simple analysis. Okay, we said we are here, 2013, what should Danel look like in 2018? And there were three key factors. Okay, we looked at the external environment and we said, we need to make sure that we have better stakeholder relationships. We need to be the lead industry leader for many of the technology programs, and we need to transform to them. And internally, there must be a new business culture of accountability and responsibility. That the operations must be good, we must be profitable and a respected company. But the biggest thing you ask, what has happened in Danel? It's a question of collective, strong leadership with a vision. A common vision, a common purpose, which is going to bind everybody into buying for that Danel. Not this company pulling in this direction and another company pulling in that. A common purpose articulated by everybody with strong leadership, which espouses and articulates government imperatives about what we need to do with Danel as a state asset. And that was essentially what it was. And then responsibility. We are accountable to government and to the taxpayer for the money we use. We have to act in a responsible way, and that's what we've inculcated and continue to inculcate in our people. So that roadmap is underpinned, as I've said, revenue growth, organizational management, people and transformation, technology and partnerships. Okay. So in essence, if you look at Danel today as a capability and a national strategic asset with an industrial defense capability, what are we saying? We are involved in an integrated way in the air domain. We supply air capabilities for the defense of this country. We're in the landward domain where we supply landward capabilities for the defense of our territorial and sovereign integrity of our country. And to assist our defense forces when they are deployed in peace support missions, wherever that may be. And also we are now looking at how to get into the naval environment, and more particularly, how do we get into the command and control, communications, intelligence, and so on. And that's a new diversification strategy that we have agreed to with our shareholder, so that we can increase our capability in technology areas in domains other than defense. For example, in law enforcement, disaster management, helping in anti-poaching activities and activities like that. Essentially what I'm saying, if you look at the revenue stream today, it's about 50% internal revenue, 50% outside. Within the next 12 months, hopefully it will be 70% outside, 30% inside. So we're not only relying on our local customer and local our government to give us work in order to sustain ourselves. I can truly today say here that Danel is a global company. We are competing with some of the best companies in the world. Whether you look at UAV technology, missile technology, vehicle technology, landmine technology, we compete with the best in the world. And we not only compete with them, we are winning business in many areas where we weren't before. So essentially we have taken Danel from where we were to a very credible local company providing the best technologies for our defense force, to a global company now providing technologies competing with the global players. And that is where the future of Danel is. It's going to be a combination of being responsible, a balance between internal revenue, external revenue, and meeting the shareholders' expectation in terms of capabilities for defense and also contributing to the economic development of our country and the security of our country. So if you look at it in a nutshell, the future of Danel will be characterized by a strategic relationship with our key clients, the Department of Defense. Internationally, we want to become much closer to the BRICS and ISRA environment so that we can unlock the potential that's there, and into Africa, particularly because of the role that we play in Africa. We want to get into other environments which is not traditionally in our space, but will contribute to the diversification of our revenue stream, to provide more assistance and technologies to other SOCs as well, new modernized technology and infrastructure, a transformed and representative workforce, and an equity supply chain, because we actually use a lot of local suppliers as well within our environment. And that it is a sustainable business going forward. Madam Chair, in a nutshell, I know I've been very quick, but that is what we have done over the last 12 months to make this business profitable. This year, without preempting anything, we are going to have another successful year financially as well. And you'll see the results when we present them to at our AGM in June, in August. Sorry. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you very much.
So I'm going to hand over to you. He's just going to give a quick overview so that the financials speak for themselves as well, not just me showing a good story.
Madam Chair, the slide number 15 shows that in 2005 we had a huge loss of about 1.6 billion. And I, as I indicated, that prior to that, the loss levels were averaging 300, 400 million level. And what you're then seeing in the slides is that the financial performance has been improving over the years. Noting 2008, we're still in a loss situation, but in the last 3 years, it's showing a profit that has now begun to be reflected. In 2011, we showed 111 million rand profit. A year after, we showed a 41 million rand profit, and thereafter, we showed a 71 million profit. And the projection and the plans are showing that the business has turned around in that, in going to the future, it will stay positive. And we got in slide 16, which is the next slide. It shows an analysis of how last year in particular the numbers looked like, and it was a positive story, and we were trading in a number of markets. We're experiencing growth across the board in terms of those markets. As you can see, that our revenue per region, where the sources of that revenue was, and where the numbers were. What is also important is that the balance sheet, in terms of our level of borrowings, had stabilized, coming from a history where we have had accumulating huge debt, and it had begun to be stabilized, staying at about 1.8 billion. And the projections into the future is that those that debt will reduce, and then we also, the equity is improving. So the business is solvent. The risk that we have had in the business in terms of going concern, that is a risk that is no longer an issue. The slide 17 shows how the individual businesses have been performing. You can see that out of all businesses within the group, the only business that had not fully turned around by end of last year was Aerostructures. And that business, Aerostructures, I think you, when you came to, I think it was 2 or 3 years ago, you came to the Nell Training Academy, and I think you were also shown Aerostructures. But that business is also coming quite reasonably well in terms of turning around. The projections are that it will take another year before it actually ends up in a positive. And what also, in terms of the balance sheet, we actually had recently been, our rating, as credit rating has been recently been upgraded by the Fitch rating, and it's a very significant development. Considering that it's got a bearing in our ability to borrow and how the stakeholders relate to us. So we were upgraded. Now, I suppose it's a very big thing for us because we're upgraded when other companies are being downgraded. So it does mean that the company, which is an independent company, Fitch Rating, looked at how we're performing, looked at our order book, looked at the board and the governance processes, and came to a conclusion that we needed to be upgraded. And I'm sharing with you on the next slide, which is an outlook going into the future, which consistently shows growth. Thank you.
Thank you.
Madam Chair, in terms of the now human resources strategy. This is firmly premised under the NALS growth strategy, and we specifically look at 4 target areas, namely talent acquisition, learning and development, transformation, as well as performance within the organization. With regards to talent attraction and retention, employment equity remains a key focus area for us, and we ensure that, as mentioned earlier, last year we achieved 79% appointment of ACIs, and we've against a target of 70%. This year the target is 80% and currently sitting on 83% appointments. In terms of overall representativity, at the moment we are sitting on 51% black representation and 49% white representation, which is of great significance within the NAF. In terms of our learning and development, this is a two-pronged process where we spend huge resources on both internal and external training of young people. So what happens is externally we focus on creating awareness amongst young people. firstly, specifically in the various areas and opportunities within the organization and the fields that they could take up, but also we assist them with additional learner support, which are going through another stage. Internally, we also sponsor our employees so that they can further their studies, and we also have an extensive leadership and development program. As indicated, Denali spent over 46 million rand on employee development and 10 million on various CSI initiatives in the last financial year. One of our flagship programs in terms of youth development is our school's outreach project, where we give extra math and science classes to learners. The program initially was just run in Gauteng and the Northwest, and we've recently rolled out to Mpumalanga, Free State and Limpopo, and we're hoping to expand to all other provinces, where we assist learners in grade 11 and 12 with extra tuition in maths and science. This program has had huge successes, and all the learners in the Northwest province were passed and were all accepted at university. From this pool, we then we offer bursaries to our to some of these young people, and our bursaries are focused on in the technical field of engineering. We also offer vacation work and internship opportunities for young people so that they do get exposure to the workplace, and that also forms part of obtaining their qualifications. Our flagship autism development program is the Denali Technical Academy, which you have visited, I believe, where we offer both aviation and engineering trades to apprentices. DCA also offers additional advanced courses as well as learner support and trade testing. At the moment, we're aiming to have 350 learners in the academy at the moment, but last year we had 250. In terms of employee skills development, as I mentioned, we do offer bursaries to our employees, and we've got an excellent leadership and development program where we've identified specific behavioral and functional competencies. Employees and managers are then assessed against these competencies, and learning programs are then or learning interventions are developed. We also have an academic program from elementary management to executive management courses are offered by UNISA. The following slides are just some of the examples in terms of our CSI initiative. Last year we hosted 100 learners from the Free State at Denali in Kempton Park in our hostel for a week, where they were exposed to not only Denali but other SOCs, so that these young people could see the careers that are available within SOCs and encourage them to take up math and science. This is also just another example where we get our employees, and they actually volunteer in the community, so that we mindful of those that are less fortunate. We had a big program last year in October in the Eastern Cape in the Pondoland region, where we provided various initiatives to that particular community. Some of that was, for example, the telematics learner support, which assists learners to interact. There's from via satellite, the Stellenbosch University offers extra tuition for these learners. We also provide math and science dictionaries, as well as clean drinking water for the community, which was a big need at that time. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I think lastly, you know, one of the issues we had identified as well was that we were not communicating and articulating these success stories that we've had and the situation that has evolved within Denali in an effective way, both internally to our people and externally to the broader community and the country in general. And as such, we've now just established a very systematic, integrated communication strategy, which WIELWA has been running, and it has just been adopted by the board of Denali. And we will be rolling that out in order to give this view of Denali, because I think for a long while there's been a lot of misconception about what Denali does and the role it plays in society and its contribution to the defense and security of our country. And that is a very special effort that we're undertaking at the moment in order to make sure that we communicate and articulate this situation in a much more effective way, both internally to our stakeholders and externally within broader society. And I don't know if you want to say a few words for you.
No, not really, Rias, but what we'll be basically going to be doing is to change perceptions, raise awareness, and also to start telling the good story about Dineer, in particular with regards to what the opportunities are for the youth in terms of youth development, because most of what we do is not just about the products and the services that we provide to particularly the South African National Defence Force. But there is a range of opportunities for young people in terms of skills development, job creation, enterprise development, to the extent that we've decided that around April we are going to be hosting a youth summit whereby we are saying that Dineer is also about these kind of opportunities for young people. And also in terms of our CSI, there's a lot that Dineer is doing with CSI. And that's another area whereby we are beginning to reposition and to rebrand Dineer so that for the rest of the public, besides our key stakeholders and our key clients, there is quite a lot that can be justified when you say Dineer is a good story for South Africa. Even internally, because of the changes that the company has gone through, there has been a need for us to develop a program for organizational culture change, taking us from where we were in the past when there were 11 entities to a time whereby we are 6 now, and to becoming a great company, we need our people inside. So that is basically what the corporate communication plan is about that Andreas was referring to.
Thank you very much, members. We've been listening to the presentation of the good story of Dineer. Honorable, I'll give this opportunity to Honorable Sunaval, followed by Honorable Jacobs, in that order. Other members will indicate. Honorable Mlenzana, lastly Honorable Sibate.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I'm proud today. And I think that is the first time in 5 years that we have a turnaround strategy. It is work. And at the end of the day, it is regarding good management in your company. And from my side, and I think from the committee side, I want to thank you. You have a positive attitude. The way you present us today, I can fully feel the positive vibe in the company. And I can see you are, as people sitting in front of us, is positive. And I really feel also that you are ambassadors of South Africa in the whole world. And that is what we want to see. And if I'm listening to you, bring anything we want from government side into your company. And that is the reason you have success. You have BEE, you have training, you have skilled people, you have all the culture groups in South Africa incorporated in your company, and that is what we want. So I think I haven't anything to say negative this morning to your company, and I want to thank you for this big issue you set into a turnaround strategy and shows us it can work. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks. Let me also thank Dineer for the presentation and also echo the same sentiments that has been expressed by Honorable Groenewald, that you are doing a good job, you've got a good story to tell. But I just have got some few questions that I need you to, because the first one, whatever you are doing in provinces, you need to be specific to say, for instance, you say Free State schools. I don't know why in the Free State. Because we belong to constituencies. And these are the good stories that we have to tell people in our constituencies. For instance, my constituency is in Raids. If I have to go there and tell them that Dineer, this is what Dineer has done, it will also try to motivate them that they should do good. And the other one, you said you took these people to a camp to expose them to various careers, state-owned enterprises. Do you have a feedback on that? That's what you have done. Do you have any feedback to say these students have shown interest and they have taken this as career at different universities? The last time when we had dinner, the complaint that you had, it was with regard to contracts and where you did not get business. I just want to check how the long contracts that you have, because I think they are the ones that will be able to sustain the organization. And also, what is your marketing strategy? I have not heard about that, because I think there must be good marketing so that this country it should be successful, because in overseas countries you find that big companies, they have long contracts maybe to build an aeroplane or that, so it gives people jobs for a long time, that people may know what they have is sustainable. As I said, on issues of internship also, where in provinces do you have this? The last one, I just want to check this what you are selling to other countries. Can we defend it if they attack us? Because we can sell them to neighboring countries, in return they attack us with our own weapons. Do we have a defense mechanism for that? Thanks.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you for the presentation. I think, Chairperson, the report that we are getting today, I think it's honest. Remember, it was the same honest report that we received when we visited the men, particularly around finances. So, there is no one who should begin to doubt the amount of work that we have done to turn the situation around. I also join my colleagues in echoing the sentiments that it's good work done. But then, Chairperson, you would remember what we said when we were at Dinel, looking at those young ones busy in that training academy. We had a concern, because here we are a select committee, and we represent the interests of the provinces, unfortunately. Unlike in the National Assembly, we are not a portfolio committee. We are a select committee. So, as you are talking, I am more listening to what is going to be said about the Eastern Cape, because I represent the interests of the Eastern Cape. And we had asked you to try to stretch out, reach out to provinces as much as possible, particularly for that training academy. And we had advices that we threw, if you remember, Chairperson, that we have got constituency offices. When we are saying Dinel should reach out, it doesn't mean you must fly down to the Eastern Cape, but make means that Dinel is known in those deep rural areas of Lusikisiki, Imuza, where you are mentioning, for instance, your CSI interventions. Now, I'm looking here that the way you are beginning to spread, it's like you are permeating, delusion. It's like delusion. You are taking time to move from Gauteng and those provinces in the coast. Perhaps you will get there maybe in 100 years time, if one is looking at the manner in which you are moving. But nevertheless, it's good work done. The second one here is this story, the good story that you are telling. I would advise that Dinel should, on a continuous basis, tell us this good story so that we assist them to tell the good story to the community. Once more, because we do have these constituency offices, keep the communication between yourselves and our secretary live so that from time to time we know what is happening in Dinel. Also invite us when you go to this area. If, for instance, now we are getting to elections, if you listen what the people of Lusikisiki, particularly the Imuza here, would say, that's a historic, you know, place where people died fighting for freedom. And those people would say, but this government is doing nothing for us. And here am I, unable to say, no. It cannot be ahead because Dinel has been here. Because I do not have that information. But if then we did have that information, it would assist. So, if communication, I'm happy that now you are injecting more energy into communication, if that could be. But as I'm saying, this select committee must be at least briefed from time to time. Thanks, sir.
Thank you. Honorable Subanda.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'll start to comment about the feeling which you're showing us. I think to me it's very, very great if it's in connection of the presentation, but I thought that you would comment about it because it's very good. We saw it. To those who are lucky to have an army background, they could understand and follow it so quick, but unfortunately you never linked it with your presentation. And then also to allude on what my colleague said, I said thanks, because remember, Ma, when we visited that year in Dinel, Dinel was in tatters. And let me come to this one then. I was very much touched and impressed when we were talking about the aims of the better aims of the Dinel, by saying that you focus in defense and foreign policy. But I'm very sensitive with foreign policy. Don't embarrass us. I never said you are embarrassing us. But the previous people, they were embarrassing us. I'll put an example. If you recall very well, there was a time whereby South African people were selling yellow cake to Iran so that Iran can manufacture chemical weapons, including nuclear weapons. So here comes the question, how, if they are following the policy of the country, I'll put the practical example, which is Israel. How do you approach Israel when they want requisite 1, 2, 3? Because you know very well that what is the position or the stance of South African government about the countries which have, we don't want wars. At the other hand, Israel is continuing supplying Morocco against the Western Sahara people, and also bulldozing the people of Palestine as well as Syria. Of course, in the Gulf is a threat. Then what is the relationship with Israel? And then again,
I've touched when you see that you see, to me it's openness to say we lost a lot of things about being inefficient. By being inefficient, I think now you do have capacity. But may you please clarify me better than this? Because you said at the moment you tried to cut down 11 divisions to 6 divisions, and then with one director, if I'm not mistaken. My question, therefore, because to me to run about 11 divisions is too difficult. Do you have a risk management? Because what is the key fundamental to all is about monitoring and accounting and evaluation. Monitoring and evaluation and accounting. That is the key fundamental one. Because to say, you see, it's not easy to reduce 11 divisions to 6 without having an alternate structure. Giving, because why I'm running away, there is a tendency which is going on. We had a vigorous discussion yesterday about the issue of people who are doing well, but at the same time they are using this, these people, when you sit in the 10 billion. Remind me, what is it? Yes. Instead of doing your own structures, you bank on consultants only. You find that the majority of the chunk of money is being paid to consultants. And then again, you were explaining to us, Ma, about the CEOs, that you said 4 CEOs are black, but you didn't group them, categorize them about the issue of the gender. Because our interest is gender, women empowerment. Because even there, when we use the team, we raise that issue. Because when we realize a lot of these things, we find, I'm happy now because I can see some eyes next to you that they are. To an extent, Ma, if I can remind you very well, my colleagues, my neighbor, remember that little girl who was so intelligent, a genius girl among of the students which we found there in Tinel. Very intelligent. But that cream, where do you put it? You throw it away? Or you put it back to you? I'm citing an example, the issue of agenda. And then you said, employing 6,000 people, is temporary work or permanent work? And then, if it's permanent work, whatever, temporary work, also, the criteria you use, because there is a mistake which is done by other people with two things. Number one, I think Benel is a national project, I can put it. But I can't understand when you can be able to recruit people from local only. I don't mean international. Then also, which is dangerous, at the same time you find that you maybe, I don't say you've done it now, applying people from foreign countries, while we do have a lot of skills inside the country. Because I was listening to you when you were presenting about issue of external and internal. And then also, I was worried with this, but I'm a little bit covered, but may you please clarify more. I was asking him, you know, Ma, I was worried about when they were saying the program on page 23, when they were saying the program has been running out in Northwest Province, Limpopo, Mpumalanga, and Free State. With that one, I wanted to ask two questions. That, you know, I was touched when you, to me, I nearly raise eyebrows on page 23 when you talk about the project which you opened in Musa Hill in Sicily. That's why you didn't count it here. Because it means that there are a lot of provinces which are doing a good job. But why is not linked? To those which are not yet covered, to ask the key fundamental question, by when? Because when we were there, some years ago, we raised the very same issue. When are you coming to us?
and what, I mean, in terms of your programs, in terms of skills development, in terms of taking kids on board, in terms of whatever. And because Umama raised something, and I don't know, I thought she's going to be expand on it. You see, in our areas, besides the issue of constituency offices, we are still having tribal authorities. That question which was raised by Honorable Jacobs about how do you market yourself, and it's the simple thing. In order for things to be protected and to go well, how do you take other people on board? Because the weakness is that most of the time, a lot of people, they're concentrating in one place in the developed areas, meaning that all people who used to have, they will continue to have more. The people who didn't have will stay there. So these are some of the challenges which I want to do. And the last one, I'm sorry, man. On page 8, of this lesson 1, 2, 3, continue to deliver on WASTAR development contracts. You see, I'll raise this to me, I want you to put it in a controversial way, but not this controversial, straight way. You see, I've got a problem. Because somehow, some people, if black empowered whatever, it's given such an amount, they will say it must be investigated. But this one, what criteria have you used in order to give these people so much money, 8.4 billion rands? If you can elaborate to us, and on last one, how many black empowered companies have you given a contract? I'll put my case there. Thank you.
Thank you, honorable members. We really congratulate you and your team CEO for a job well done, a good story. However, as I look closer on slide number 18, I notice that the company is not out of the woods yet, and the committee would really like, would be interested in your bearing ratio on your borrowing against your balance sheet. And then for the past few years, Dinel Aerostructures has been the one division responsible for your losses. I see on slide number 17, the situation has not changed that much. If you can maybe explain to the committee, how do you plan to change the fortunes of this division to make it profitable? I see on slide 23, you have offered over 80 bursaries. If you can, you know, because as members seated around, we would like to know who got this bursary so that we also, in our constituencies, we do follow-ups to see how the students are doing and to make sure that other people, other learners, also follow the route. So if you can, even if you don't have it now, but when you get, you go back, just put on, you clarify, this one is from Mpumalanga, this one is from and the school. And the other one, Honorable Jacobs has asked on it, those schools in Limpopo, Mpumalanga, Free State, Housing, and Northwest. And maybe tell us the criteria that you use to choose the schools. The criteria that you use. And I would also like to ask those children that went to Dinel, for example, Free State, you know, I know that Mpumalanga also did go visit Dinel. Mpumalanga, not the whole of Mpumalanga, but Mpumalanga in the Hazyview area. And when they came back from Dinel, they were so excited, very excited. Afterwards, they started, you know, changing the subjects, taking the Western science. And what I want to know, what does Dinel do after this, the children have visited the school? Do you have someone in Dinel who go to these schools, even if the schools didn't visit Dinel, but somebody whose responsibility is to make sure that you go into a school and you talk to the learners, maybe from grade 11 to grade 12, talk to them, and then afterwards you make a follow-up, and towards the end, you make sure maybe even these bazaaries that you are offering, you go to those schools that you went to and say, here we are as Dinel, as we spoke to you earlier on, we are here back to try and assist to those who need assistance. Free State, you've mentioned all this, if you can give us a story, you know, this is a good story, but we want the good story of these schools. You know what, when I talk to people or honorable members, talk to people in their constituency areas and say, Dinel has done 1, 2, 3 for Kanyisani. The students were there, the students went and went. If you can just elaborate. Thank you, over to you. And also, sorry, the Youth Summit, if you can tell the Youth Summit, where will this Youth Summit be and by when, and who's going to take part? How do you going to bring learners together to attend? Honorable Subandi, you were saying something?
No, I was just saying, then let them tell us about my Lord Daniel. Lord Daniel. It's the next.
Okay,
and
over to you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. You know, I just want to say one thing very categorically. If we created the impression that Dinel is out of the woods, that is not what we try to do. Because we are far from doing that. What we have showed you is the possibility of a roadmap to take us out of this in a long-term sustainable way. So our gearing ratios are still not where it should be. We still have to rely on borrowing from financial institutions in it. In fact, long-term debt, we are now at least able to pay back that debt, which we weren't in the past. That's why in the past we had to go for a bailout from government. Now we're saying we can service the debt that we've got. And I mean, I think what Figueroa was saying with the Fitch ratings, it shows exactly that. Is that for Dinel to receive a AAA+ Fitch rating means that they have enough confidence that we can address the issue of servicing the debt going forward and even decreasing it significantly over the period that we talked about. So we're not out of this, and there's still a hard work ahead of us, and we've got to be vigilant about it. I agree with you that we will obviously provide that detail about where exactly in the provinces we are working, what is the specific issues, how are we attracting people, what do we do with the follow-ups of the people, and of course they're going to answer some of the other questions that you've raised. I also just want to say as a comment is that because we're in such a difficult financial situation over the years, what we are doing in the provinces with our learning programs and our social development programs, and it's far from what we would like it to be, because we still don't have the financial resources available because of our financial situation to do exactly huge rollouts of these learnership programs. But we are committed to doing it, and we are going to make sure that we are going to do it in each of the provinces in the areas that are most in need of this kind of intervention from ourselves. So please be assured of our commitment to making sure that we are going to pay special attention to the rural areas of our country as well. The contracts that sustain us, especially externally, we have some huge contracts in Malaysia, we've got huge contracts in Brazil, and in the UAE, and in Saudi Arabia. Locally with the Air Force, we've got a lot of contracts, and with the Army, and the Air Force particularly. And those are the contracts which we call anchor contracts which support us. And that is why when I was saying the strategic partnership with the MOC, Memorandum of Cooperation, will allow us to say, this amount of money over these number of years will be allocated to Israel to maintain these strategic capabilities. In addition to that, there are many smaller contracts that we keep on relying on, which if we don't, for example, PMT, our munition facility, if we don't have those small contracts coming in, and it just doesn't give us our bread and butter. Marketing strategy. You know, people always say, how have you been able to do this? It's a simple thing. We are not saying that. In the past, we used to go and go to a customer and say, you know, we produce this bottle. We sell it for 10 rand. If you want it, take it. And most instances, but the world has changed in terms of how we do business now. Firstly, it's partnering with local people and technologies in those countries. There's long-term sustainable relationships in terms of technology transfer. And how do you assist those countries that are going to partner with you to sustain the capability in terms of its support for its entire life cycle support? So there's a value proposition that has changed in terms of how we want to sell. We're no longer selling products, we're selling partnerships. That's the first thing. The second thing is that we've really revamped the attitude and the manner in which people were doing business in the past. And I think that has been a huge cultural shock as well, is that if you don't understand the country, if you don't understand the geopolitics, if you don't understand the environmental changes that have taken place in these countries, you are not going to sell into those countries. Selling 5 years ago into now is very different to selling today into those countries. Our position internationally from an IPSA perspective, a BRICS perspective, has just created a better environment for us to leverage on our political relationships in a more significant way. So the whole external environment has changed fundamentally, and the way we doing business there has changed as well, fundamentally. Let me just deal with the ones that I can deal with, and then I'll give over to you and figure for the HR issues.
Sure.
Can we serve to countries opposed to threat, and then I'll deal with the Israel matter as well at the same time? They now, because we're a state-owned company, are under the strictest compliance regime that we can imagine. From the NCACC to the Department of Justice, to the United Nations, to the international protocols that we have, we cannot sell anything to a country that our government will not allow us to sell into. Okay? And we will only sell to those countries that are considered to be political allies of our country. Okay? So, in that sense, there is no possibility of us selling to any rogue state that are going to use that same equipment against us. And we will also not sell to countries that are in conflict, for example, in Israel. It's very clear from our government's position, we do not have a defense industrial relationship with Israel. Okay, the deep rural areas, I mean, keep briefing the committee regularly. One of our weaknesses has been, as I've indicated, we have not been communicating properly and regularly. And that's why one of the key tasks Wilelwa has now, and it was approved by the board as well, is to have a very dynamic, integrated communication strategy with our internal stakeholders, so that this kind of inability to understand the developments at Denel and share that with you is not going to happen the way it has been happening. The DVD link to the good story, I agree with you. I mean, that was a corporate marketing video. Maybe we have to just slightly change it so that it reflects this new good story going forward. And we will attend to that as well. The efficiency program and risk management. We have a fundamental comprehensive risk management strategy that is reviewed by our internal auditors, our external auditors, and the Auditor General's office. We identify each year, if you look at the annual report, the 10 key risks that are affecting the business, or even more. And those are monitored on a quarterly, regular basis by the Audit and Risk Committee to make sure that we address things, for example, operational efficiency. Operational efficiency, it is the ability to institute processes, procedures, standing operating procedures in it, which will allow for early monitoring of our inability to meet our objectives with regard to contract milestones. So there's a whole effort that has been put into, if you sign a contract, how is that contract signed, under what conditions, what are the penalties, how do you monitor that the people are doing their work, all of those interventions have now been made. And no, we do not use consultants. I can put that very categorically. In terms of, and Natasha can talk about it, the issue of gender, absolutely, I'm not going to even for one moment say that we have reached where we should be reaching. We need to have huge, the difficulty that we have in our industry is to attract young women engineers into our environment is hugely difficult. And where you do find them, as a state company, we can't pay them enough to keep them there because the private sector will pay them much more than what we can pay them. So it is something that we are addressing, and I know that the minister and the shareholder particularly is on our case with this gender issue every time. And I've said that at Spinel we are committed to ensuring gender equality, and we will continue to do that. The 600 permanent workers, sorry, I didn't get that one.
I think the question was how many permanent and how many fixed. 14% are on contract. So fixed term contract.
So the majority of people are on fixed term contracts. And
no, on permanent.
On permanent contracts. The issue of foreigners, you know that we have three associated companies. In Tenel itself, we do not employ any foreigners. But in the three associate companies where 5 years ago when they did these equity arrangements with the company called Rheinmetall, here, one person is German. I think total is about three people who come from those companies abroad who have an interest in strategic equity. We have made it an absolute policy that we will only employ local people. You'll deal with the schools problem. The caring ratio. Let me just deal with the infantry, the hoof. The Cuban. Does he look Cuban?
He doesn't belong
to us. No, he's not a Tenel.
He's not a Tenel.
So, on the infantry combat vehicle group, it's a 10-year program. It is that amount of money because of the level of technology and the number of vehicles that we have been contracted to answer in the DOD to do. We have said, and the minister has said very specifically, that the local content on that program will be 70%. Obviously, we've got international partners to give us some of the technology. Again, we're going to say very clearly and categorically that because of the nature of the historical legacy that we've inherited in this industry, there are not many BE companies that provide the core capability into this defense industry. We are now having a very concerted program together with the ministry and ourselves, and at least 25 to 30% of that will be... We have insisted that no company will get any contracts from Tenel on this particular contract that is going to be less than 25% BE shareholding. And there's a whole regime that is attached to it that is monitored together with the ministry, together with the Department of Defense and Arms Corps to make sure that we will use these projects in order to get a more equitable situation in the industry. Aerostructures turnaround. Remember, South Africa cancelled the A400M program with the Germans and French. That program, because of the fact that we were supposed to have delivered significant offsets into Aerostructures to keep it going. A fundamental problem, and it is also a fact, and it's in the public domain as well, is that the way in which those contracts were structured were loss-making for us. Okay. So we're actually losing money on those contracts. In the last 18 months, we have renegotiated with Airbus those contracts so that they have now become profitable again. Not only have we renegotiated that, we've restructured the company to cut off all the hidden costs and overhead costs which were superfluous to the company. Today I can, without any contradiction, say to you that Tenel Aerostructures is one in the world, one of the most the best aerostructures manufacturing capabilities you could get. And it is a flagship and we should be proud of it. We have now made sure that they've got more contracts coming from Airbus for more work packages as well. Not only relying on Airbus, they're getting more work from other top tier one aerospace companies from Malaysia, from the US. So that company has gone through again a complete overhaul. I must say the great thing is because they perform so well, they're getting more work from Airbus, for example. What we're also doing, and I can say this with a lot of pleasure, is that the support that the ministry has given us in terms of the new acquisitions for South African Express
and for South African Airways, the new acquisition of aircraft is directly going to be linked to an offset program, which is specific work packages that will be done locally here in South Africa. So that business is looking good going forward as well. Okay, the rest were issues around schools, and please, we can address some of this.
Okay, I'll try and be very quick. With regards to the youth camp that we hosted, the pre-state learners, those learners were in grade 10 and 11, so they're currently in grade 12. Our intention is to go back to those learners as the SOCs and offer them opportunities where we could offer them bursaries. It was a first program that we've run like this, and it's in collaboration with CPE and all the other SOCs, so we're planning on doing this like an annual event, hosting learners from different provinces in Johannesburg. Just with regards to the school's outreach program, in Gauteng, the school's outreach program is offered by our own employees who volunteer their time and teach extra math and science classes over the weekend. The program in the Northwest started a couple of years ago, where a school is identified as a center of excellence, and then there are teachers that come in and actually teach the learners math and science over the weekend as well as holidays. We have expanded that program the year under review to Limpopo Free State, and our intention was also to roll out to Mpumalanga. In Mpumalanga at the moment, there was a problem with the identification of the school, because what happens is we identify the school in collaboration with the Department of Education. So they then decide on which is a school that has a proximity for other schools in the area, so that learners in a 20-kilometer radius also come and attend the program. So Mpumalanga is supposed to be kicking off now this month. Limpopo has started already. That's in the Jane First area, the school called Glenkawi, as well as Free State, also started last year. So those particular learners were in grade 11 last year. They'll be in grade 12 this year. And at the end of the year, we sought from those learners to offer them further education through Danel, either bursaries or obviously to become artisans within the academy.
Madam Sir, I must say, you know, the school's program is still relatively young. You know, we're still going to expand that as more resources become available. And I can assure you that we will not in any way neglect a particular province. We need to make sure that we spread our resources and our capabilities throughout the country. And we will be happy to come back here within the next few months to give a very comprehensive overview of what exactly we are doing with the limited resources that we have. And also in terms of the follow-up with the students that are coming to us, and also give you some examples of the good stories of some of them who have done extremely well through this program as well. So yeah, we are committed especially to the rural development of our rural communities, because that is, I think, where our future is. We have to, if we don't look after our rural areas, we're not going to be able to make this a representative to now. We've got to get people from all over the place, and we must give them the opportunities to do that and create an enabling environment for them, and we're doing that. So thank you, Madam Chair. I hope that was of some value.
Before you speak, I wanted to say, the schools, you see, the schools that visit the mayor and then go back, like I mentioned, that there were schools that visited the mayor. When they went back, they were so excited and start even changing their subject, you know, because of what they have learned from Dinay. So, I mean, those schools, you don't even have to wait for the Department of Education. You should actually communicate with those schools. Get the feedback from the teachers of what... Send someone to go and speak to the children, to the learners, to say, how did you find it?
I think we take the comment, because we do have a dedicated individual that oversees the people coming in, and we'll just take add to the steps that you're suggesting.
Yeah, because I remember it was first day, and Mpumalanga, but immediately after, don't make them just not just for fun. They mustn't just go there for fun. When they come back, just go, follow them. Follow them and just get
Because like now, last year in my constituency, what I did, I called the teachers of the schools that visited Dinel, and then I said we were planning to have a debate. So I was going to invite Dinel, just that didn't happen, but because of time that is like too close to the elections, it's difficult to put them together. But that still will happen, because I think for them to debate amongst themselves what they saw, how important it is to take part in math and science, you know, I think that's what you must do, Honorable.
Thank you. So, I just want to check with Dinel. Are you building or have you built the capacity to sustain this turnaround strategy? Because we don't want to see a situation when you are gone, the strategy collapses. So I just want to check on that.
The strategy is executed by human capital that has been in the company for many years, and that we consistently put sufficient plan to ensure that when those people or those leaders come out of the business, and there's a second tier of leadership. And in addition to this, we are doing a projection of saying the level of activity is at this level now, 4.4 billion. I am supported by 6,000 employees. When we begin to execute a 5 billion, what is the level of expertise do you require? What is the extent of attrition that comes out of the business, and what's the layer that needs to come in? What is the extent of changes in terms of skills development that needs to take place in order to sustain a higher level of activities? So there is all of that planning that's behind the turnaround that we're talking about. What is important, I think, is a consistency having those activities in place, which is to sustain the turnaround. And we're very comfortable that the turnaround that is being implemented is actually has a medium and long-term impact. Again, if one looks at it against what we've successfully done to date in terms of concluding contracts and all of that, we're very comfortable.
Okay, thanks. You had your hand up.
Mr. Chairperson, I think I just wanted to add the issue with the Eastern Cape. Because we're not rolling out the school's outreach program, they haven't been added to the list of provinces. But we certainly, as we have been involved with them in various CSI programs, considering them to roll out as well.
Thank you for the opportunity, Madam Chair.
Okay, just a quick one.
Chairperson. I'm not a praise singer, but I think it is wise to say thank you very much for the good job. You know, I was pleased about the openness to say, when we ask questions, to say we are very far from this, but what do we want to do? Rather than to deceive us while we know how to go to you. Because there are two types of visit. Is the other one is we can inform you. The other one can inform just cheaply. But with this one, they were so honest to us. Thank you, Chairperson.
Okay, thank you, Honorable Sivander. We're going to await those you sent to all the members. The committee secretary will give you the list and then you send it before the end of next week. We don't want to leave for constituency period for campaigns without having them. And also, I think it's important, you know, constituency offices, if you've got any information, we've got constituency offices, and through these constituency offices, you will be known countrywide. You will be known when somebody gets into my constituency office, will find information on Dinel and will ask me, what do I do if I want to talk to these people? Making awareness.
So on that note, we thank you very much. We will see you in the next term, the fifth term.
Thank you.
Thank you. We will be back. We are coming back. Okay, honorable members, if you can remain, we've got it's 5:12. We've got minutes to deal with. There's a meeting in the chief's office. That's why I am hurrying. So can we? Can they excuse us and then we'll continue?